So our scripture reading today is from Philippians, and it is chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. If then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete, be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard objects as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not in your own interest, but to the interest of others. But the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness and being found in human form. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed me, not only in my presence, but much more now in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, enabling you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. And so I named this message Unity. And so when I first started it, so I know that you guys are going to be surprised, but when I first start things, I kind of have a preconception of where God's going to lead me. And so when I first started this, I thought, well, unity, it means we should all be lockstep, all agreeing to the same thing. And that's a lot of what I'm going to talk about today. And then TJ didn't share the fun he had in class yesterday, but I got to be in Zoom class yesterday for about 6 hours. And one of the things we ended up talking about was this idea, it's a contemporary religious study class. And one of the things we talked about is the problem with if everybody's in unity all the time, it means we never hear a different idea. And sometimes what you think you know, I know that some of you are going to be surprised, including me, sometimes you're wrong. Who knew? And so if you take the time, one of the things I want you to think about as we go through this, if you take the time to listen to people for their point of view, you'll realize that you'll learn something you didn't know before, and it'll help you grow in your own faith. And so be thinking about that as we go through this. So one of the things we always do when we're thinking about something, we always kind of go negative a lot of times. And so even though I titled this Unity, the very first thing I start talking about is disunity. And I think we always think of that as sort of a negative term. Oh, well, they're not getting along. Or there's people in this church or this organization or political or whatever, and they don't get along. And so then that's a big negative. Well, sometimes we feel that way because we feel really strongly about that particular issue. We really feel strong about it. And so sometimes if you have a church, there was a church in Yorktown that they split off from a Baptist church in Muncie. They moved into a vacant church in Yorktown. They were there about 2 months and they had another split. And you're going, well, that didn't seem to work very well. Now, I didn't know anything about what caused it, but it could have been it was because you had people that really felt really adamant about something that caused them to be not united. And so we kind of think of that as always negative, but if you take the time and patience to kind of work through it, it can become a positive. So the issue is when you have disunity, are you doing it for yourself? Or do you feel that God's leading you that way and you want to make sure that other people understand? Now, I didn't put this up on here, but one of the things, and I've already mentioned it once, is part of this not taking time to understand the other person's point of view is, did we really listen? So how many people here have heard the song American Pie by Don McLean? And it's been done by lots of different people. And I thought about doing this today, but I didn't want to work a test into the sermon. So for a business class one time, so almost everybody here has heard it. And those who said you didn't hear it, if I played it for you, you go, oh yeah, I've heard that. I play the first minute and 30 seconds of that song. And then I ask you 10 questions. I didn't tell you before you started listening if I was going to ask the 10 questions. And I know a group of you just did this. You went, bye, bye, Mr. Man. You started singing the song and think about it. And you thought, gosh, well, that was like the summer of 72. And then you went, oh, what's Ed talking about? And so we do that because we're like the squirrel. And we just go off on some trip. And although we've heard that song a million times, I would ask 10 questions, and on average, people would get 5 of them right. Because we've heard it so much, but we don't listen to it. When we hear it now, we think about, oh, in 1974, I was doing this. Oh, I was dating so-and-so. Oh, I remember the first time I heard it, I was at a drive-in movie. That was a place where you went outside, they showed the movies on the screen. They don't hardly have those anymore. But we do that. But we hear things, but we don't listen. Or when someone's telling us something and we think they're wrong or we're trying to decide what we want to say, instead of listening to him, we're already working up what our response is going to be. And so I think part of this idea of unity, disunity is not taking the time to listen. Not hearing, I'm not talking about hearing, I'm talking about really listening, paying attention to what the other person's saying. Are we creating this disunity because we're trying to bring our own selves up? So we want to know everything, we want to tell everything that we know or we think, and we don't take the time to listen. So yesterday on the Zoom class, it's hard to know who's supposed to talk. And so every class I've ever been in, there's like 4 people that talk all the time. And then this is a class of 15, the rest of us are sitting there. So about a third of the way through, after the first 2 hours yesterday, she said, here's the deal. There's some of you I haven't heard from. Part of this class is participation, so you better figure out how you're going to work yourselves into the conversation. Because we were just listening. Because sometimes people will just kind of hoard the whole conversation. And so were they doing that because they thought that we had something really to share, or are they trying to get a better grade, or are they doing it just for their own self-worth that they wanted to do? And are they really just concentrating on their self, where they're just really talking to make themselves better? So then this next slide is really what are kind of the cures for disunity? What do we have going in our lives that help us become more united? Well, if we're all in Christ, that's a good start. Now that works in the church. And this, what was written here in Philippians was because the church was having problems. And they thought they were doing some fighting. And this was his letter to them to say, hey, if we all really are in Christ, then then some of these things shouldn't be happening. They should be able to take care of themselves if we're allowing the Holy Spirit to lead us in these things. The next thing he talks about in there is the power of love. Will we allow that love to increase our unity? And so since I spent more time at Yorktown, you're going to hear a Yorktown story now. We had a meeting one time. The piano needed to be replaced. They couldn't decide if they wanted an electric one or if they wanted a grand piano. And I fell into the category of I'm not musically enough inclined that I really care. As long as it makes sound, I'm good. But there was a couple people that were really, really, really passionate about, and I don't remember now which way it was, she got so mad, and after she screamed and yelled, she got up and left the meeting. Well, that really would say that was a total lack of love for the rest of us. It was okay to say, you know, here's why I feel and be real passionate about it, but she did that at the expense of the rest of the group because she really didn't care what we said or what we thought. And yeah, she had a better music background, and I think if she could have kept a little calmer, that because the way she was respected for her music, that people would have probably gone the way she wanted to go. But I think she lost us when she jumped up, took her ball, and left the room. And so if we allow God's love to enter our lives, even if we become upset, we don't like what the other person's saying, it gives us the ability to act appropriately. And then I've said this sort of a little bit already, but for this ability for us to be moved or directed by God's Holy Spirit. So again, are we doing it just for us, for our own personal gain, or are we doing it because of the way we're being led by God? One of the things that I think also plays in this is how much compassion we have for other human beings. So in my Zoom meeting yesterday, because the modern theology, you have a pretty big group of ages. I think Josh is probably like 24, and I think Jerry's probably 80, and they all have churches, and they all have different size churches and different kinds of churches, and a lot of people work full-time and then part-time in the church, and so you have this mix. And so one of the things that came out was, does your church have compassion for others, or do you only take care of those people in your church? When you see somebody in need, do you help them? So I use the blood drive. You see a need for blood to allow people to have surgeries, for cancer treatments, whatever their needs are, they were in an accident, do you take the time to give blood? If you see a group that needs money, and so today, I still read a real newspaper. I don't know how many of you that know what that is, but it comes and they throw it on my porch. It was there this morning at 12:30, I heard it hit the porch. And so when I read it today, I saw different foundations gave money to A Better Way, the Boys Club, Motivate Our Minds. There's two others because there were two different donations. A couple of them were Boys Club got money both times. But people gave their money to those organizations expecting it to be passed out to help those different agencies. And so do we have compassion for those people in need? There's a long article today in there about United Way, and this was a person, I believe she said 5 years ago, she was getting United Way money because she was really in a bad way. That she needed that financial support to pay her rent and feed her kids and take care of herself. And part of the article was her completing school, and now she's gone on to a better job and career. I worked with a lady who did the very same thing. She was in the United Way ad probably 10 years ago because same thing, started college, married, had a baby. For whatever reason, they didn't stay together. She was just kind of struggling part-time jobs to get by, and then United Way was able to help her. So do we have that compassion for those people around us that need it? And so that love that we're supposed to share with all, do we really share it with all, or do we only share it with those that we know? It's easier to love, in some ways, it's easier to love people you know than people that you have no connection with. To do things for people that you're probably never going to know or see it. The articles that we read when some family member died and donated a heart or eyes, different things that would have been unimaginable not that many years ago, and then the family of the person that got that organ comes back, that person comes back and thanks the family for their donation. How many of us take that time to fill out that form and the driver's license to let our families know that we're willing to do that to help others? Because we never know which side of that we're going to be on. Are we on the side that's going to be able to donate to help someone live on? Or are we going to be on the side that needs it because something happened to us that sometimes we kind of self-cause those things, sometimes they just happen? And so that love of others, how do we show it? So then this last slide, what I'd like for us to talk about is how we can change or what we can do to make the church have the ability to be more in unity. And so the first thing is we need to all recognize that, you know what, we're not going to agree on everything every single time. I can't even get my kids, which my one daughter has gone way off the beaten path from where she was politically. And if I'm around her more than about 10 or 15 minutes, I have to leave the room because I just can't take it anymore. But I know that she feels that way. And so if I bring up any kind of conversation that even sort of kind of starts like it could be political, I know where she's going to go. So I understand that there's a difference in where we're at right now in our lives. And so we need to be open to those people that are different than us. Because like I said at the beginning, if you only hear your own opinions, or people that you're around all the time hear your only opinions, then that's what you're going to get confirmed. You don't have the ability to learn about anything else. Where this came up yesterday was, if we have this belief, and that's what we always believe, and we only read or listen to things that share those same beliefs, then we are never open to change. And one of the things that I think you've heard me talk about, we talked about yesterday in my class, is we are constantly changing to becoming more Christ-like. And if we're not, something's wrong. Now, everything you listen to might not be something that you would agree with or that you think's better, but the question is, do you take the time to listen? And it's okay to be in disagreement with somebody, because maybe you're the person that should be listening and talking to them because you're working to change them. But sometimes it's them working to change you. We're going to have conflict in our lives, whether you have it in your family, your church, your workplace, your community group. We already said not everybody's going to agree. That's just not going to happen. And so it isn't that you're going to have conflict, it's the issue, is how are you going to come to a resolution? So what I would tell you is let God lead you to the resolution. Don't try to do it on your own. If we could do it on our own, there would be peace in the Middle East, and there is not. There would not be violence in city streets. I was on YouTube last night. I never do this. I have no idea why I did it. I listened to a song I liked from REO Speedwagon. I have a pretty diverse musical repertoire I listen to. REO Speedwagon called Golden Country. And the song they wrote in the early 70s, it's about how white America mistreated Indians and blacks. That could be written today, and it would seem like it was dropped right in for today's time. That song was written in like 1972. And it's called Golden Country if you want to go back and listen to it. If you didn't know it was 50 years ago, you would think it was written today. And so things that we try to change on our own, we just are not very good at, because we don't have the ability to do that. God can make that happen if we allow him to lead us. A lot of the conversation in class yesterday was about the Trinity, and I probably don't talk about this enough, but we need to let God's Spirit move us and know that it's all around us. And know that it's all around us. To allow us to do the things that God wants us to do, we need that Spirit to move us. Sometimes we see it. You'll be driving, walking, you will see somebody do something for somebody that they didn't have to do. They just didn't have to do it. I like to think, talk about God's signs, it's where people just barely, they don't even have to hardly go out of the way, but they can help others. One day I was leaving the Village Pantry in Pendleton there when I worked there, and I found a $20 bill in kind of a money clip thing. And I took it back in the store, and the guy said, well, how am I going to know who comes in, somebody comes in and wants it? And I said, if they lost, it was their only $20 in the clip, I said, they're going to know the last time they used money, they'll be back. One day at the fireworks festival at Yorktown, I found a guy's wallet and a phone. Same different people, but they were right there together. The guy with the wallet, I knew him, so I called him. I said, hey, you missing anything? He goes, well, I'm looking for my wallet. And I go, it's at my house. And the phone, the good thing about phones is you just call somebody on the list and they'll tell you who they thought was calling them, and then you can backwards into it. Because even like I always had a flip phone until recently. Even my iPhone will let me answer a call even if it's not my thumb or my face or my passcode. And so we can just find those things and we can help people. And I don't know about you guys anymore, but if I ever lose my phone, I'm going to be in panic because I can't remember any phone numbers anymore because there's no reason to. You push a button, there you go. Have birth dates, emails. As long as somebody doesn't chop off my phone or my thumb, no one else can use it. I really questioned my daughter on that too. That did seem like a good idea because then they'd have to take my thumb with them. But but we have those chances to help people. And sometimes it's so easy. It doesn't hardly take any of our time, any of our commitment, but it allows us to do it. Let God's love, God's Spirit direct us in what I do. Be compassionate of another person's point of view. Now, don't say, well, I listened to them even though I knew they were wrong, because that means you weren't very open about it. But really listen to them. Don't start singing bye-bye American Pie right now. Just stay with me. Think about the other person's point of view and have compassion for it. Because they might be right. Maybe you've been wrong all this time, but you never heard somebody state it in such a way that led you to where you were supposed to be. And be considerate of another person's point of view. So I already told you that my youngest daughter and I really disagree on political stuff. And so the other day, it was my fault. I started it, and then I got to listen to her for 30 minutes telling me how wrong I was. And so I'm going, okay. So one of the things I learned about having three daughters and a wife is that when they start talking, you just nod and listen. Because they really don't want your opinion when they're telling you your opinion. They want you to nod and listen. And they don't want you to fix it. They want you to nod and listen and pay attention. But don't be fixing it and don't be interrupting them when they get on a roll. And so we need to do that with everybody. We need to be considerate for another person's point of view. And like I said before, when they're starting to talk about it, don't be thinking about how you're going to respond to tell them they're wrong. Let them tell their story. So for all the years I was a lending officer, people would come in and say, oh, you remember everybody's name. Well, Tom's not here today, and I'm just pointing out I knew Tom's name today, even though he's not here. You can all tell him that I called him out. Tom, if you were sitting right there. I couldn't remember anybody's name. But I am really good at remembering stories. And so somebody would call me and they would tell me this story. And then 2 weeks later, a month later, 2 months later, they'd come back and they said, well, I called you, but you probably don't remember me. Tell me the story. And so they'd start and I'd go, oh yeah, you're the guy who wants to do blah, blah, blah. And they go, oh, that is so great that you can remember my name. Yeah, no way, bud. Couldn't remember it at all. But if you really listen and pay attention, we often can't remember all the details, but we can remember the story the person tells. And that's what we need to do. We need to be able to listen. Completely listen, not squirrel listen, we go, you know, all over the place, but really listen to them. And even if people disagree with you, if they understand that just like what we're trying to do, to be compassionate of their point of view, to listen, to be considerate of their point of view, then even if you disagree, they'll be considerate of your point of view as well. Now, that may not always happen, but you can't do anything about that. You can only take care of what you can do. And so, you know, as we deal with family or friends, things in church, things in groups, when these conflicts come up, try to remember these things. And don't like instantaneously go, well, they're wrong and I'm going to tell them they're wrong. Listen to what they're saying. Take the time to really pay attention. Father, we're so grateful that we can come together this day to worship, to praise you, to share the love with all those that we come in contact with as you love us each and every day, warts and all. In your precious name, we're so ever blessed. Amen.